So I think having a team is just so important because you can really have people behind you, not just being yes men and yes women, but just encouraging you, challenging you, supporting you, keeping you accountable, things like that. And I think that that's so important, especially when you're starting off your career.
Welcome back to the Better Than Best Academy, where we've created this community of champions committed to personal growth. Here on the show, you're going to hear firsthand stories of the next generation of creatives that you may not know, but you'll soon never forget. And we weekly aim to have extraordinary conversations with interesting people. And we've got an awesome, interesting guest today. His name is Jared Humphers. He's a 24-year-old Jesus follower, singer, songwriter, musician, producer, speaker, and Skittles connoisseur from Pineville, Louisiana. Now, before I hear more about your expertise in all things music and Skittles, tell me, Jared, what would make today's conversation extraordinary?
Yeah, I honestly just love to learn and grow. That's a big part of what I do in my music and everything like that, as I share what God kind of is teaching me in each moment of my life. So I just can't wait to have some honest conversations about some of the deeper topics, or some of the lighter topics, I should say, and the deep topics of which Skittles are the best. So that's a win for me.
I love it. Well, hey, Jared, just kind of give the people listening from home just kind of your origin story, how you got started in all things music and, like you said, Skittles, because I you're already piquing my interest. Already an interesting person right off the bat.
For sure. Well, yeah. So when I was about 6 or 7 years old, I started to really look into becoming a preacher. Obviously, that's the thing that every 6 and 7 year old Christian guy thinks about, I'm sure. But yeah, I just got into ministry a little bit, kind of liking to serve in different areas. Then one thing that really piqued my interest was getting to sing on a platform. And then obviously that wasn't the best intentions behind that at the beginning, but just kind of grew a little bit, kind of died down, didn't really know what I wanted to do. I mean, obviously I didn't want to have, you know, all of my life figured out when I was 6 or 7. Some people do, but I certainly did not. So I went through tons of different things that I wanted to do. So eventually I just kind of grew up, wanted to be a professional soccer player. That quickly died out when I realized I probably was not going to make it at that point. So it came down to either being a professional soccer player or a musician. So when I started playing guitar, I was 14 years old. So I kind of got a little late start compared to some other people. But I started playing at my local church, got to really learn about music, things like that. Then when it came time to pick a college and a college career, I didn't really know exactly what to do. So I just picked music because that was pretty much the only thing that I thought I was decent at. So I picked that up. I switched from my major being guitar to piano, actually. So I started playing that, realized I could probably use my degree a little bit better when it comes to piano over like a guitar major, with what I wanted to do. So yeah, during that time, I pretty much just kept on studying, kept on learning how to play music and everything. Kind of got into songwriting a little bit. Thankfully, you will never hear those songs ever if I can have any control over it. But God really used that time to help me kind of grow in my musicality, kind of understand who I was, what I wanted to do. And really since then, and since I graduated from college, I went on to get a master's in music business from Berklee College of Music, their online program. So that kind of has helped me just with the behind the scenes style of things, because obviously it's not just about being creative. It's about or being creative in music. You also have to be creative in like your business and things like that, your branding. So that has really helped me. I'm an independent musician, singer, songwriter, producer. I do everything by myself, which is good in some ways and bad in others. But yeah, I love writing music that is honest and helpful and hopefully provide moments for others to have some peace or some joy, or just understand that they're not alone and that Jesus ultimately is our source of comfort and whatever they need.
Man, I love that. There's so many different ways we can go from your story. I really appreciate you for sharing your story with us. And for those listening at home, they're going to be able to get connected with you. I'll put all that in the description, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of your music projects that you've got coming up. But you mentioned specifically, you said, so you went to Berkeley, or you're going to Berkeley, or you went to Berkeley?
So I went there. I graduated last year.
Got you. So you recently graduated Berkeley. And what was cool is you said that, because I went to Full Sail University online for music production. So I get the whole, you learn up until you realize about the music business.
Yeah.
You first just fall in love with the music, and then you're like, oh, there's this whole other animal out there that I have to conquer almost.
For sure.
So I would love to hear kind of your thoughts on how you've learned to be creative on the business side of your music as an independent artist.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good question. I think the big thing is you just have to, before you get into any like marketing things or any type of business whatsoever, you have to really understand your, I call it your why. Why do you do this? Who are you? Everything like that. I don't necessarily know if that's like a one-time thing. I think that's something that kind of develops as you grow. But I think before you get into any of that, you need to have at least a good understanding, write it down, whatever. Who are you? What do you do? Things like that. But once you figure that out, I think it's just about understanding your personality. Like, who are you? And like, what can you leverage in your life to help people understand like who you are, and kind of get your message across. So for me, obviously one thing is, Skittles. You'll see some posts every now and then about just referring to Skittles or stuff like that. I do have a little plastic duck, or not plastic, rubber duck. His name is Jake. He does have his Instagram account, his own Instagram account. Do not follow him or encourage him, because he is extremely prideful, but he thinks everything is about him. And he has kind of died out a little bit the past couple of years, but he's making a resurgence recently. So I think just different little things like that kind of catch people's eye. And it's, you know, part of my little quirky personality. You know, I'm not very bold in what I say. So that's kind of like a complete opposite for me, you know? So I think that was one thing that kind of I thought about to help like leverage people, like, oh, wow, this is like two different types of personalities. So if you'll look at some of our Instagram accounts, or some of our Instagram posts, you'll see us interacting with each other. So I'm interacting with myself, but like, you'll just see us going back and forth, arguing with each other, things like that. So I don't know. I thought about that, that could be just an interesting little thing to have on the side, like a side quest, like a video game.
Man, I love that. And I love that you're bringing yourself in a unique way, because I feel like that's so important as musicians and artists that are out there trying to create a career from their art, is sometimes they get so bogged down in the minutia of the art itself that they forget that there's a person behind it. And if there's anything that I've learned recently with my studies of artists on TikTok and Instagram, is that no longer are we hiding behind highlight reels or like being perfect. We're truly bringing in those little aspects, those quirky, those little imperfections, and bringing light to them in a fun, humorous way if you're comical. Like, I love that. Anybody that's got a great sense of humor, that's so cool. But one thing you mentioned that I think is so important, before you even get to the marketing aspect of a business or of a music career, is you have to first know your why and who you are. And that's big. And I'm a creative mindset coach for creatives. So that's kind of like my business now, post my career in rap and stuff like that. But that's one thing that I'm big on explaining to my clients. And that's partially the reason I even made these podcasts now, is that idea of we have to really find our identity. And ultimately, us of Christian faith, our identity is rooted in Jesus. And when we have that foundation, that firm foundation, as Maverick City and Cody Carnes says.
Yeah.
As we have that firm foundation in who we are and our why, then we're able to create. Because I know there's a lot of people that I've even came in contact, some of my clients even, that go through these bouts of creative block and writer's block. And a lot of time that doesn't come from them not having the abilities or the skills, because I mean, they're super creative, but it's, they get trapped in this idea of almost an identity crisis. Yeah. And I think that's so huge, is when we're rooted in the right things and we keep the main thing the main thing, and we get focused on our why, then we're able to always create from an honest place. And it's not, it almost becomes effortless, I would say. Yeah. But man, I love already where this conversation is headed. And I had a question for you, actually, and my notes left me. Give me 1 second. There we go. Okay, here they are. So one thing you mentioned is being an independent artist, it definitely can feel very lonely, you would say, right? There's times where you almost feel like you're on this island by yourself with all your music, which it can be great as us introverts. I don't know if you can relate to that as well.
Oh, for sure.
Being an extroverted introvert, that can be an amazing, comfortable place. But I believe that if we really want to make that impact and leave that legacy with our music, we've got to get it out there. And sometimes, yeah, unfortunately, we have to have conversations with real people. But with that, I think it's so important that even though we're in this DIY culture of music, we really have to have a team, right?
And I
would love for us to kind of just have a conversation over that topic and that idea of how to build a creative team and community around your purpose and your music. Is there anything that you could speak into that?
Yeah, for sure. I'll give it a go. So with trying to build a team, I think it's so important to have a team first off. There's so many people that have made books and podcasts and things like that about building teams. It's so important to have one. And the main reason is, like what you said, it can become lonely. When you are an independent artist, like I am, you're not just, you know, writing your own songs. You're also recording everything, producing, mixing, mastering. You're also, for the business side, you're marketing, you're promoting, you're sending your songs to playlists. You have literally 20 different hats that you're wearing. And by the time you actually get to like release day, you probably hate your song or you hate your album. You're just like, oh my gosh, I'm just sick of this. And that's not good. Because that's when you really need to be pushing your advertising, not just whenever your song releases on that day or your album releases on that day, but just in the future. But yeah, I think from a biblical standpoint, counsel is such an important topic. And I don't think people talk about it enough, because I believe I looked it up recently. I think it's like 32 books mention counsel at least one time throughout the Bible. 32 out of 66. And like, that goes to show you how important it is. I noticed at the Dove Awards recently, I did a video about it. You look at all the people who won the awards, none of them, at least that I saw, none of them just said like, you know, insert song name, artist. Yeah. It was always the song, artist, and like 2, 3, 4, or 5, however many people who wrote on it, produced it, everything like that. What it does whenever you have a team is it takes that burden off of you. Yeah. You're not just alone. Okay. So it's, I even look back at Psalms, you know, you see whenever David talks about fighting his enemies, you see mainly him talking about, I feel lonely, I do this, or I feel hurt or whatever. You know, it's either him and by himself or him and God. And you don't really hear about him and his team, you know, but you always hear like, they fight against me, they war against my soul, things like that. So I think having a team is just so important, because you can really have people behind you, not just being yes men and yes women, but just encouraging you, challenging you, supporting you, keeping you accountable, things like that. And I think that's so important, especially when you're starting off your career.
And you said it right there, not just yes men. I think that's probably the hardest thing as creatives is for us to have the people on our team that are going to tell us when that's not it. Because a lot of times we get these, and I think that also comes with this need to, when we're creating things, where it almost becomes prideful, where it's like we're making this baby in a sense. And it's like, no, you're not. And we almost go mama bear, dada bear on it. And we're like, sure. No, you can't say that about my baby. This baby is perfect. But it's
for sure.
Not. Like sometimes it's not. And we need those people in our life, like you said, that wise counsel that's going to speak truth through love. Now that's the kicker too, because sometimes you can have people in your life, and that's where discernment comes in, that you could surround yourself with the wrong team. And those people are really out to make themselves higher and pull themselves higher. So, but you're going to know through, you know, your discernment and through your understanding who's right for you. But I would, I would even take it to a step further as like, you need that counsel, obviously. But one thing that I've noticed too, when people start hiring a team, is a lot of times they'll look for underlings instead of overlings. And it's that idea of like someone who's slightly below you as far as skill set or whatever it may be. But I would suggest to do the opposite. Like,
for sure,
we all have strengths and weaknesses, and I would much rather hire people on my team that are way better than me at my weaknesses, and they're gonna pull us all higher. So that's one like kind of pro tip, little life hack when you're building your team, is hire or bring in, because in the beginning you probably aren't going to be able to hire them essentially, but bring in people that are slightly above you, not necessarily below you, and someone you're trying to bring up. Now I think it's great to have both in your life, but really I would really encourage you with that, because I heard this quote recently and I've just been living my life by it. And it's, if you're the most interesting person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah,
man. When I heard that, I was like, how many times have we became almost, I like to put it this way, Tim Ross in his podcast, The Basement, if you listen to it, great. You listen at home, you might know what I'm talking about, but he put it in this space of who can fire you. And I love that idea of who can fire you, because if we're not careful, especially as independent artists, we can get in the space of, I'm the boss, I'm the man, like no one can tell me otherwise. And if we have those yes men that are always going to say, yeah, it's amazing, you're amazing, then essentially we're going to get to a level of success and we're not going to have a character to keep us there.
That's
why it's so important for us to have that counsel. And I think it's so important to have mentors and coaches, people discipling us, because we can't see ourselves 360. I always say it that way. Like I see what's in front of me. My son could have stuck stickers on my back and I'm not going to know unless someone who has a view of behind me says, hey, man, you got some stickers on your back. But man, yeah, I love that idea of really surrounding ourselves with that wise counsel.
And you know what? To even add on to that too, I just thought of this. You have to be careful, like what you were saying. You have to have people who you're trying to pull up and help them grow. And you also have to have people trying to pull you up and help you grow. Exactly. I think sometimes it can be difficult, because a lot of times, especially when we're creative, like you said, these are our babies. You know, these are honest stories that we have, you know, whether it's instrumental piano or, you know, EDM dubstep Christian, you know, we have these stories that we're trying to share and everything like that.
Yeah.
But I think if we're not careful, we could fall into this sense of like, well, I guess you could call it pride, where you're thinking, well, I don't want anybody to like hurt my feelings or anything like that, or even specifically, I don't want to try to be in competition with anybody. That's a wrong mindset to have, because I feel like if you are in the will of God, you're not going to have competition. And if you see yourself doing the exact same thing down to the letter as someone else, one of you is probably not in the will of God. Because if you think about it, why would God create two people to do the exact same thing the exact same way? Now, we're all created to obviously serve God, love him, and help others get closer to him. But it's the method and how we do that. That's what makes us unique. It's like 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 11, or sorry, verse 12, or chapter 12, I believe. It says, you know, the eye without the hand is nothing, or the hand without the eye is nothing. You know, you have to have everybody working together in the kingdom. And I think that that's important to have as a team as well, people who are better than you and people you're trying to pull up to.
Man, that's so good. And you said it best, and it just went blank. Man, I lost it. I was right there. I had something to add to that and I lost it. But man, that's so true, because it's so easy for us to get into that space of thinking we've got it all figured out. And that's it. That's what I was gonna say. It's that idea of we think we have it all figured out, but the truth is, if you want to go quickly, go alone. But if you want to go far, go with the group.
That's good.
And again, that goes back to you need all the different areas, especially to build up on your weaknesses, because that's so good. So good, man. Goodness. My notes again are leaving me.
You're good.
There they are. Okay, cool. But yeah, I love this idea of building that team and building that community. And I think that's so great. One thing that I love, that the way that my pastor has talked about it before, is that, and you mentioned it earlier, it's that idea of we can't carry, I picture it like working out. Like, say you get under the bar to do a squat, and you've got all these plates on each side, and you're trying to lift it, and it's out of your ability and your strength. But if you've got people on each side evening out that load, that then together collectively, you're able to lift way more than you could lift by yourself. But man, that's so good. That's so
for sure.
It goes back to what we always hear in Christian circles. You know, you hear it 1,000 times, never do life alone. We're better together. And they can seem almost cliche and redundant, but they're so true.
Sure. And, oh yeah.
And it's so important to realize that, because your favorite independent artist out there, you listening or watching, they've got a team behind them. It may not seem like it, but they definitely have a team working behind the scenes. But to transition into maybe a different topic per se, is I love to ask this next question to my guests, because not only is the practical side of creativity important to me and this channel and what I stand for, but I also like to go deeper. And don't get me wrong, I'm cool with small talk and I'm cool with the principles and the practicalities, but sometimes I like to just go deep. So
for sure.
I love to ask this question, because it kind of puts my guests on the spot. So I warn you in advance. But the question I'd like to ask you next is, what do you not want us to know about you?
Ooh. That's a good question. There's a couple of things, but I will say the first thing that came to mind is that I can be indecisive sometimes. I have the incredible ability to overthink things beyond any human comprehension, it feels like sometimes, and read into things. But yeah, I think on a serious note, sometimes I will just really overthink things, whether it's a decision, whether it's an idea or something like that. I just have that incredible ability to just completely give way more thought to certain things than I should. And I think sometimes it manifests itself as, if I overthink something too much, I just won't do it. Like, I'll feel overwhelmed at this particular project or whatever it is, and I just won't wind up doing it. And then days, weeks, months, even a couple of years on one particular project, I'll be kicking myself thinking, man, everybody else is doing that. I should have started doing that when I was back then, you know, but that's probably the biggest thing. I can be indecisive sometimes to the point where it causes me to just give up on certain projects, which I am trying to work on.
Man, dude, I love this question because, and again, thank you for your vulnerability, because I believe that by asking the tough questions, we get to the root of the matter. But not only that, we get to a space of, we realize how we're not alone. Like, yeah. I've asked this question in a few of my, the men's group I lead for my church. And it's amazing to see someone answer and then half of the room be like, I felt that too.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And I'm sure some of you listening in home may have felt the other way, the same way. You've overthought things to the point where then you lean into a space of, I'm just going to not do this. So I would follow up with that question would be, so in these times that you overthink things and overanalyze things, what could you do differently to not go to that space?
Yeah. So one thing that I have been doing recently has just been looking at the project as, I'll just take a project, let's say an album or whatever it is. I'll be looking at that, or I used to be looking at that as a whole thing, like this huge, massive elephant in the room, basically. But I have recently been thinking of it as like, okay, what can I do today that's going to help me accomplish that goal? So I try not to overextend myself. So let's say if I'm trying to record an album and drop it in the summer of next year, I'm not going to think of it as like, oh my gosh, I need to hurry up and start doing it right now or anything like that. I'm thinking, okay, let's think about an idea for the album. If I've already got that idea in mind, let's see, okay, what's the first track? You know, let's just kind of put out some ideas today or like this weekend. Let's just record, you know, 20 ideas or whatever it is. Doesn't have to be perfect or anything like that. It could just me being on the piano or whatever. Just try to get 20 ideas, 10 ideas, 5 ideas, whatever it is, just so there's consistent movement on that project. And it's almost like that saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So I'll do that. And I'll also kind of just take a step back from things and be like, okay, breathe, pray about it, and specifically pray, God, what do I need to do now to accomplish this in the future? And a lot of times he may not necessarily speak to you, but you'll start having those ideas. It's that thought about having the mind of Christ, which everybody's trying to develop every day. He will start planting those ideas in your mind and things like that. And if you have peace about something, it's probably a good thing to follow. So that's the two big things I've been working on recently.
Man, that's so good. And I love that. I love that for sharing that, because that's so practical, because it's so easy for us as creative people to overthink, overanalyze. We get into that perfectionist mentality, and all of a sudden it's been, like you said, months, maybe even years, and we haven't touched the projects that we want to finish. And, right. it, like you said, it's simple as that. What is the smallest step you can take today to get you 1% closer to achieving that outcome? And when we get into that space and that way of thinking, then again, it starts rolling. And it's also that idea of a lot of people are searching for motivation. Oh, all right, when I feel like it. But creativity is a muscle. And you don't work it, it's not going to grow. So if you spend that daily, and I love that you even put like achievable task along the way, like write 20 ideas, man, that all of those are so great.
Yeah.
But with that said, have you ever experienced, I'm sure you have, because we all have as creatives, but have you ever experienced a time where you felt burnt out and wanted to give up? Could you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. See, I've heard a lot of different things about burnout. I've heard some people say it doesn't exist for things if you love it. I've heard people say that it is very real. I'm still trying to learn which of those is probably most true. But for me, I have had times where I've just have felt, you know, I just don't want to do this. You know, I've doubted whether or not, you know, I've literally sat in this room, my music room, the creative room, the song box, whatever you call it. And I've literally thought, is this even what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? And I think it almost always comes at a point where I start forgetting who I am and what I'm doing here. And I think I can't really recall a specific moment where I felt burnt out like the most or anything like that. But there have been times where I just have felt like giving up. Things I've done to kind of get past that is just really take a break from some things. There are moments where I just pushed through and it has helped. And there are certain moments where I just took a break from it and said, you know what? Let's step out of the room. Let's go do something. Let's go to a coffee shop. Let's go to a, you know, performance someplace. Let's go take a walk or whatever, or let's even put music on the shelf for the weekend or for the week and just let's reconnect with God. And really ask him to remind us of like who I am and things like that. But I think that burnout can be real. And you really just have to be careful when those moments come to not just say, okay, well, I'm going to put it up without giving like a specific time frame of like when you're going to pick it back up. Cause it can get really dangerous if you decide to just leave it down indefinitely. But yeah, I think everybody pretty much struggles with like forgetting who they are at some points in their lives. And that does lead to burnout, I believe.
Man, you nailed it right on the head. And I would agree. Again, as a coach that helps creatives beat burnout, I believe that burnout is real. But I also think on the flip side, it is preventable.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, the biggest thing that I've noticed as a trend with my clients is that, again, they forget who they are, why they're doing what they're doing. That's one reason. Or they just forget to take care of themselves. Because that's the biggest thing is like Sabbath is in the Bible for a reason. God talks about working to enter into rest. Like to rest, we have to work for it. And if we don't allow it in our lives, it's going to come for us in the form of burnout or the form of sickness. I know for me, that's what I've noticed trends in my life is that when I get into spaces of feeling really burnt out, and it's not necessarily that I'm burnt out with the things that I love doing. It's that I'm doing too much of the things that aren't fulfilling me. But also on the flip side, I'm not taking care of myself in those times. Like I'm not eating right. I'm not sleeping right. You know, you're going through all the things. And that would be my encouragement for those at home that are dealing with burnout is definitely, and it circles back to building that community and building that team. Because when you have people in your life that aren't always going to just be yes men, you're going to have people that are going to sit you down and say, you got to slow down. You got to take a moment for you, because if you don't, you're not going to be in this long term. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in this for the marathon. We always hear, you know, about the race in Bible, and you think about the marathon and not the sprint. It's so easy to get a sprinter's mentality and to be like, I need to run as fast and as hard as I can. But if you do that, it's not sustainable. And when we're able to learn the pace and learn the ebb and flow, that some seasons we're not going to get to do those creative things we want to do as much. But that's okay, because some seasons were like right on the edge of burnout because there's so much going on. I don't know about you, but like Christmas time, we're planning for our Christmas service and stuff like that. So it can definitely be super hectic. But at the same time, when you're scheduling within your daily life, those mini Sabbaths is what I like to call them. And they don't necessarily have to be actual sitting and sleeping or resting. Yeah. They can be those things that recharge you. For me, working out recharges me. For me, listening to podcasts or audiobooks, that recharges me. Getting into the Word, listening to worship music more so than playing it. I know I play drums for my church, and it's super easy to be on the flip side of it, where you're listening to the songs that you're practicing in your head to prepare for the next service, and getting out of that and getting back into that mindset of I'm worshiping to worship.
For sure.
Man, these are all such good points, man. I really appreciate you spending this time with me today, Jared, and the people listening. But I want to talk a little bit more about your music and kind of the projects you're a part of, because I don't want to always get on here and kind of build up the others, which is important, but I want to help those that are on this show just get connected with those that might enjoy their music or maybe even want to collab with you, because that's the whole point of building this Better Than Best Academy, this community of champions, all the fun sayings that go along.
Yeah.
But I'd love for you to kind of share with the people listening where they can find you, where they can get connected with you.
Yeah. So first off, thank you so much for having me on here. It's been so fun. I post on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. If you want to see a lot of behind the scenes stuff, a lot of the things that you might not necessarily see me like day to day, you'll probably go to Instagram, which is just Jared_Humphers. On Facebook, it's Jared Humphers Music. And on YouTube, it's Jared Humphers. I got to fix that though, because it's like three different things. But I'll do that eventually. But that's for social media. Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, wherever you listen to music, it's just Jared Humphers. I upload instrumental songs, kind of like chill, not necessarily lo-fi, but just relaxing kind of styles of music. As far as lyrical music, that is also going to be coming out a lot more next year. And basically, it's just honest conversations like we've had today. I love getting into the details of individuals' lives and how God is teaching me and helping me grow and sharing what I've learned with others. Now, obviously, I'm not perfect and things like that, but I think we should all be helping each other, because this is a community. So why would we not, you know, want to help each other?
Man, I love that. I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit more on that with answering this question. What is the legacy you want to leave in this world?
Ooh, that's a good one. You're hitting me with tough questions today. I love it. We need to have these conversations. I would have to say that I just want people to know that they aren't alone, and that if you look throughout the Bible, you'll see, you know, you've heard all these names like Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah El Nisi, everything like that, all these names that God has. It's interesting because God has a name for every need that you have. So if you're feeling alone and everything like that, he's Jehovah El Roy, the God who sees. It's just interesting to see that. So I think with that in mind, I would want my legacy to be that you are not alone in what you face. God knows everything about you, and he wants to just help you. You know, he's not this strict parent who's up there, you know, just waiting to beat you down. And he's also not just your friend who, you know, says yes to you all the time and says, oh yeah, let's go ahead, bud. But he is a God who's gracious and merciful. And I want to be able to share the grace and the love and the compassion that God has shown to me, because I've needed a lot of it, with others, whether that's through music or teaching, speaking, whatever it is. So that would be probably my legacy.
Man, I love that. Jared, thanks again for sharing. Before we wrap up, is there any questions that I missed out on asking you, or do you have any questions for me?
You know what? I'm kind of disappointed we didn't talk about our favorite candy. I think we know the answer to mine. So.
Man, Skittles, like that's yours for sure. Man, that's a tough question. I'm going to sound so lame, but I don't really eat a ton of candy.
Okay.
But if I had to choose, man, I think it might be those, you know, like the rainbow ribbon rope, like chewing.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
It would have to be those. If I had
those
to
are awesome.
One, Because I recently, my wife loves those too, and it was her birthday at the beginning of this week, and I went and got some for her, and I'm thinking in my head, this is great, because I'm going to eat some of these, and I have to eat some of them. But yeah, that would definitely have to be mine, the rainbow, not necessarily the ropes, but the flat ropes. You know yeah. what I'm talking about, the ribbons, I guess you could say.
Yeah, for sure.
man, I love that. Oh, is there any other questions you have for me?
Let's see. I did have one question for you, actually. So when you think about, I know we've kind of talked about this a little before, but what are some ways that you have been able to kind of find your why? And if you could like elaborate on what the reason behind what you do is and things like that, I think that would be helpful for everybody listening to see a couple of different perspectives on that.
For sure. Man, I love that. Thank you for asking that question. For me, as far as finding my why, it would definitely go back to with my faith in God. Obviously, I'm going to be partnering with Him and the Holy Spirit to ask Him kind of what my purpose is. And it starts there. And I know for me, so to give a little backstory for you, the people at home have probably heard it too many times, but I started rapping in 2008, and then somewhere in the middle of that, radically got saved, rededicated, on fire for God, started really rapping, Christian rapping, to the point where obviously that was the goal, was to bring people to God through my music. And then in 2018, just out of a certain, just the way my life was going, I felt really strongly in my spirit, God was saying, you know, put down rap and step into something new. Didn't tell me what it was. I'm over here like, wow, thanks God.
So I set it
down to learn that I had basically made my identity into what I was doing. Like I was, my rap name was Redone. So I was like, I was Redone the rapper. Like that's what I did. And it's who I was. And laying that down took me to this identity crisis in a sense. And this was also around the time I got super burned out in just my life, because I was doing too many things at once. I was a video editor for full time as my job for this ministry. And then I was serving full time at my church with the youth, like four different areas in my church I was serving. And I'm trying to make this big rap career. Like I had all these pans in the fire going nowhere with them. And essentially God kind of set me down in that moment. And that was the beginning of the work. And then we jumped to 2020 and the world shuts down. So even more so, it's like there was another layer that had to get peeled back. And yeah. It was in that time that I really felt like I want to impact people and I want to help artists that are like me, that have went through that idea of I'm doing this work for God and I'm trying to reach people for God, but ultimately I don't know who I am. So through finding who I was truly, now that is my why, to help others see themselves the way that God sees them. And that's why at the beginning of this year, I started it. It's called coaching program. I know coaching gets a bad rep as far as like life coaches, and it can get kind of scammy out there for some people out there. But I truly have a heart for God's people. And I truly have a heart for creative people, because I know what it's like to pour your heart and soul into something only to sometimes feel like nothing comes in return. And yeah. I really want to encourage those people to realize that they have that power through God, and they have that identity in Jesus, not in what they do. And that's my why, if that could explain it a little better. And that's just where it became my why. But to find that, it really has been the journey.
For sure.
Anyone's out there, especially the younger people, it's really easy to get into a spot of like, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to go after this. And yes, you will and you can, but don't be afraid to find yourself first. And that would be my biggest thing, is on your journey to your why, find the who first. And a lot That's of good. Times when you find the who, you'll find the who, capital. And ultimately that's my goal. Cause I mean, even some of the people that I work with, and even this podcast, I mean, I'm not catering it to just Christians, because I believe that that's part of our goal as Christian, is to make disciples. Yeah. And that's another big why of mine, is I really want to walk with people through their faith and through their creative journey.
That's awesome.
Thanks, man. Yeah. And with that said, some of the things that are kind of, well, first, you have new projects out. You released a song yesterday. Well, by the time we're recording this, that's awesome. So definitely, share a little bit about what you were telling me before we got on, video on camera and recorded, share a little bit about that new project that you have.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm recording an album with one of my friends from up north. His name's Dana. He works at Hillside Recording. That's his own project. He and I have met within the past, I believe, year, and we have just kind of recorded a couple of things together. So it's been amazing to see how God has used that to reach people. And the most recent project that we've been working on is actually a themed project. I guess that's how you would describe it. Yeah. But it's going to be my first album based on the Lord's Prayer. So interpreting certain parts of the Lord's Prayer through music, how Jesus possibly would have said it in a musical way. So we released our single called Our Father, based on the first verse, obviously, about a month ago. And then we just released, by the time of recording this yesterday, a song called In Heaven. And that's the most recent one. It's basically a short little song describing how we think heaven's going to sound like, just a unified, happy, joyous, triumphant song of just all different kinds of people, from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, everything like that. So we're all excited about that. We cannot wait to finish this project and have it put out there. I think this themed project is going to be really cool. So I hope everybody loves it.
Man, I love it. And even you just explaining it, I can just see you light up. So yeah, definitely go check that out. I will put all the links in the description and whatnot. And if they're not there, you'll find them on his pages, because I'll link his pages. Go show him some love. Just share all your happiness of hearing his music, because I definitely feel like, Jared, your music is worth being heard, not only because of what it is, but who you are. And I just want to take a moment and encourage you in that, is God sees you and he sees your heart. And I can see your heart just in this short conversation that we had. I might be going on a limb, so don't quote me too hard on this, but I really feel like God is proud of you and what you're doing. And I just really feel that, I feel that strong, that be encouraged by that. And it's easy to get bogged down in the mundane and the day-to-day, and when we're not seeing the results we want to see. But I just really want to encourage you in this moment that you keep going after it and going after God and making that music for him and his people, and you've already won.
Right. I appreciate that so much. That's definitely a word that I need to hear. So
sure. I'm happy to give you that encouragement. I just want to encourage you listening or watching at home. Right now I'm doing this kind of little special within my business, and I'm offering free 30-minute calls where we'll get on the phone, and I just want to hear your story, similar to being on my podcast, which you can also sign up for that as well in the description if you're interested in that. But if you're not necessarily ready to be on a podcast and you just want to kind of meet me one-on-one, then I'm doing a little special now where you can find my schedule. Let's book a call. Let's talk, and let's just hang out and see if I can't do my best to help you. And at the least, you'll be a part of this community of people, and we can really connect the dots to what you need to go to the next level. But with that said, I always love to end this way. I love you, friend. I'm praying for you. Now let's go live better than best as we conquer this week.